Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav intervjuju Radija Študent, v katerem se danes pogovarjamo s tolkalcem, improvizatorjem Ingarjem Zahom iz norveškega tria Huntsville, s katerim nocoj že drugič nastopal v Ljubljani in tretjič v Sloveniji. Huntsville so pri nas nastopili že leta 2007 na Mariborskem festivalu Izven in leta 2008 v klubu Cankarjevega doma, tokratni koncert pa se bo ob 9. večerni uri odvil v kinu Šiška. Huntsville so trio, ki ga ob Ingarju Zahu na tokalih, sruti boksu, drone komanderju ali elektronskih tablah sestavljata še Tony Kluften na basu in Ivar Grideland na električni in akustični kitari, banjo in lap steel kitari. V lanskem letu so povili že svojo tretjo ploščo z naslovom For Flowers, Cars and Merry Wars, na kateri gostuje tudi znana norveška pevka Hanne Hukelberg. Ta je zgolj še ena v nizu gostov na njihovih dosedaj treh albumih, na prejših sta tako sodelovali pevka Sisdel Andersen in člani znane ameriške alt-country zasedbe Wilco. V svoji glasbi trio skozi improvizacije tvori plastovita, hipnotična, nadžanrska sozvočja, v katerih odmevajo tudi tradicije opojnega drona in ameriške koreninaste glasbe. Poslušajmo najprej delček naslovne skladbe, ki sledi pogovor, ki smo ga posneli danes popoldan v kinu Šiška, Huntsville na 89,3 MHz.
Hello, Mr. Inger Zach, for the third time in Slovenia with Huntsville, but you've been here many times with other groups. Where did the basic idea come from Huntsville as a specific project or a group, which quite differs from your previous work, for example, with Ivar Grideland and Tony Kluften, the other two members of Huntsville, with both you previously and still mainly work in the context of contemporary jazz and even more in context of free improvised music?
Well, the Huntsville group as such was, it's actually a result of the work I did with Ivar for a long time as a duo. And actually when we studied at the Music Academy in Oslo, we had a project with a composer who was writing a sinfonietta piece for us with the two of us as improvisers. And on this in this project, we Ivar just bought a tabla machine. This he saw that on the web page. He could buy it like a tabla machine for free. And he introduced this in this piece of music. And in some rehearsal, I put this tabla machine on top of the snare drum, and it resonated so nice. I said, hey, this is something we need to work on this. And since we also been working with Tony Kluften in various projects as a trio also, never like a fixed group, but like rehearsing, and in the No Spaghetti edition, like a big band, improvising big band we had, we've always been trying out new directions and things like that. And we wanted to invite Tony to really work on this banjo with the kind of this tabla feel with the drony stuff. And from then on, basically, we just finally, after rehearsing so many years with Tony as a trio, we found kind of language that we wanted to pursue and to investigate a bit. And that's the really origins with Huntsville.
You mentioned the language of Huntsville. How significant was for the shape of the sound and style of music of Huntsville the choice of instruments? Like Ivar shift and focus not only to normal acoustic and electric guitar, but also to lap steel and banjo, and yours in comparison of Shruti box and what you call drone commander. And could you tell us more about the last two?
The Shruti box and the drone commander, yes. Well, the whole idea of the language as we started was to introduce this to Indian based musical instruments like the tabla machine and the Shruti box. And this is kind of also the slowly development from our duo work that we started to work on like long layers, like static soundscapes, and using also this Shruti box in our older improvisations. And this was also the base and the fundamental instruments for our new sound, basically. And the Shruti box is basically the one I use or started to use with Huntsville. It's an electronic one. It's a very simple with one speaker. It's actually meant to be holding the drone while the Indian singer is practicing his ragas, basically. Of course, we don't use that in the same way, but I found a way to incorporate it in my drum sound with this. And the drone commander is a fairly new instrument. It's like I bought it kind of 4 or 5 years ago from a guy in Texas it's like an oscillator, basically oscillator with filters. And it's a more potent kind of drone instrument that has more bass in layers. And so it's just to make another layer more deep in the Huntsville sound, as we now have been actually playing much louder and also with bigger venues and also bigger PAs.
As you mentioned, there are a lot of hidden echoes of various musical genres, traditions and style under many layers of the music of Huntsville, which operates on the border between composition and improvisation. How different is for you personally the process of improvisation where you use certain ingredients of certain musical styles?
It's actually, even though Huntsville might seem like very different projects from all the other things I do, the way of working is actually the same, although I tend to use more rhythmical patterns and beats in Huntsville. But I mean, the way of working, the way of introducing material, and also concentrating on keeping and slowly developing material is the same as I've always I've done, I feel. But specifically, in Huntsville, I use tabla machine, drone commander, and Shruti box. I don't use these instruments in other groups. This is too special to be put in another context, actually, for me. So this belongs to the Huntsville sound, basically. But about, what was the question about genres? No.
Compared, for instance, when you play free improvised concerts and when you play with Huntsville, where there are certain elements of certain genres, how do you relate to them through improvisation?
Well, basically, I don't think we really relate to genres. We just actually relate to sound and what we like to hear. Because, I mean, everybody who writes about music needs to find some links and elements of genres. And I can hear that too, but really what we want to do is to create the Huntsville sound. And of course, I mean, we've been listening to tons of music, also contemporary composition, like bluegrass music, drone music, everything. And I guess everything is incorporated in our sound, but it's not that we really think that, oh, this is the New Orleans, this is the Nashville sound, this is the... But I can understand that you can hear that, but to me, actually, it's more important to really develop a kind of an own specific sound that is totally ours. I hope, well, still we are working on it, we're still shifting a bit, now we're talking about going down to totally acoustic again, and We are recording a new CD, a new CD or LP, I'm not sure what it will be, but in June, and then we'll see. We are talking about, well, I guess this small tour that starts today is kind of a, we will start to discussing what to do on the next next step with Huntsville. I will see. I thought maybe I think that we can, we are going back to the where we started actually in the very beginning with the, only the banjo, acoustic guitar and small drums, and I don't think Tony wants to go back to the double bass, but we'll see what he's doing.
There is a sort of stigma in the world of music about so-called Scandinavian or Nordic ambient music or sound. I saw it mentioning also concerning Huntsville music in some reviews.
Yeah.
But Huntsville deals with the hypnotic aspect of music in a specific way through modern electroacoustic improvisation, our rock, American roots music, Indian sound, even song form. After three albums, where would you now place it?
It's not up to me, I'm sorry. I can't say, I can't place it. It's when people are really finding a way how to describe our music, that's a reaction. That's a really sign to us that we need to change, to go somewhere else again, because we need to not be locked inside a kind of the way of playing. Or, and I guess I think we also felt that in a way that we somehow we need to change always some small things, and then just a new idea will go some other, and the music will go some other place. But I can't place the music, and that's what's nice, and I don't have to either. I mean, I don't see the, I leave that up to the journalists to place the place where we are.
As Huntsville, you also toured USA in the past. Since there are reflection of American roots music in the sound of the band, and you also collaborated with two members of Wilco, for instance, in the past, how were the receptions there? I remember one American writer who wrote about your music as taking the tradition out from tradition.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a nice way he didn't mention which tradition. So it's nice that maybe he hears so much of tradition inside the music, but we're taking it out of context and putting it together in a, maybe in a way that it's difficult to do if you not are only listening to the sound. Because if you think about merging two styles of music, maybe sounds really strange. No, let's not do that. But if you just are listening to the sound and the music in itself, I think everything is possible, basically. So maybe that's a nice compliment, actually, taking the tradition out of the tradition. This is good. Well, maybe that's what we're doing.
For Flowers, Cars and Merry Wars is your third album. The title song includes singer Hanne Huckelberg and lyrics by Jonas Hovdensjövag. I quite remember her concert in Ljubljana with Ivar Grideland as a band member. Does process of creating a song with lyrics and singing create different environment for the band?
Yes. Well, actually, the final result is helping us to actually to evolve as more, to shape our music in more like a song forms sometimes also. We're kind of into that. Maybe I think we will end up doing that in the next CD. We will do more shorter songs, and also we have some small shorter songs on this this last CD. But actually the way that this piece has become from the very start is an improvisation from with Huntsville. And then upon this, we've been working like in the post-production, singing ourselves and finding lyrics, and then we invited Hanne to do, because we're not singers, I mean, we're not, sounded much better with Hanne on the vocals than ourselves, I have to say, to do the same line that we created. So basically this, the way that this piece has been created is from scratch, to really compose as a melody and a song after we have been improvising the piece.
How is the material from new album incorporated in your live concert? Do you try to sort of recreate the music in certain way, or you use it as a springboard for improvisation, if at all? And what brings an extra member of the trio, Sound Wizard, to the concert experience?
Yeah, well, as sometimes the CD or the product of studio work comes after a long process of playing live concerts. So the music maybe that comes out on the CD is already old when you present it and goes touring after the CD is out. But we don't really try to copy anything on the CD, but we are always in a process and some durant of time there are materials that we like to come back to. There's always repetitive figures, you can recognize material from this, from that. But as we don't tour with the singer, and we tried once to have Hanne on a laptop, like mm-hmm. to shoot out some of her vocal stuff. We did that once, but it won't be the same at the CD anyway. So we just did it one gig and said, we need to move on mm-hmm. with this thing. This is a product of the CD, basically. Yeah. A product of the recording and not as a band in a live situation. If we need to do that, we need to improvise the song mm-hmm. at the spot as well, I think, to be able to get it to work. In this case, it was nice to have tried it, but I don't think that we need to have her there, I think, to be able to do that. But.
And Sound Wizard?
Sound Wizard, that's the sound guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very important for us. We've been working. We have two or three guys. We are alternating with using. Of course, it's since there are so many levels and also instruments and roles in the band, you need a sound technician who really knows what everybody's doing and how the levels are going to be and how the musical development normally is, how the concerts are building up and going down. And it's really important for the sound guy to really know the music and the persons, or else it will be very hard every concert to do mm-hmm. to do sound checks, to do send the CD to the new sound technician. You don't know how he's doing. Mm. So this is important. This is a fourth member, basically.
Yeah, but he doesn't creatively contribute to the concert.
One of the guys, yes. I don't know this guy. This guy who's coming today is we know him very well, but this is the first time he's doing Huntsville. Mm. I don't know if he, but the two other guys has been, yes, contributing in a way to also filtering, doing stuff, taking away stuff. Also, they shape the music, which we also can hear live when mm. we're on stage. So it's they play an important role. Yes, of course. And what might work in the venue, or what might not work. Mm. You know, it also shapes the venue you're playing, and also during sound checks, you know what you can do and what you cannot do, what sounds best. And we have all these discussions and also communication about this. Mm.
I first experienced your work in improvised music through duo with Ivar Grideland and through the record label Sofa. Now, almost 10 years after, the Scandinavian music has a significant presence in modern music worldwide, so it seems. I am especially intrigued by ways how many of you, especially improvisers, approach music in non-conventional way for improvisers, working with also songs, pop music, etc., which is quite unusual for improvisers, especially orthodox ones. Yeah. Why is that, in your opinion?
I guess we are very fortunate also in Norway to have institutions where they actually invite you to do your thing, basically. They support you to find your own expression. They're very tolerant and all very open at the institutions in Norway, and also bring back the people who's been studying before as teachers. Mm-hmm. So this is like a circle and an inspiring whole for the whole environment of the experimental scene. And also, I think that's really important. The last 10 years, this has been exploding. I don't know. I also noticed this, that I don't know how many more musicians we can be up there to... Are there room for everybody, you know? Yeah. But I mean, there's always some small nuances and new people who find new stuff. And
it's a good vibe in Norway these days, and it's also basically thanks to the institutions and also the work that well, it's been going on for a long time, also since the 60s, 70s, when the ECM tradition, all the young Arbatic and all this, even if though these musicians are, well, 50, 60 years old now, this whole thing about finding your voice in a way, and also mm-hmm. looking for new expressions. I think that's because Norway is a young country, and mm-hmm. in search of their culture, really wanting to find significance in having their own voice.
Mm-hmm. For the end of this interview, as I understand, you live also in Spain, where things are a bit different economically, a lot worse than in Norway.
Yes.
So as you mentioned, Norway is also here known for that it takes a great care for its culture with fundings, etc. Are you afraid this may change in the near future, not only concerning Norway, but globally and especially on the European level?
Well, I'm concerned because I see it happening everywhere. So, and also for Spain, it's devastating. The percentage of unemployment of young people that we have now. I don't know. This is, but I guess we can always. What we need to do is just to make art, basically. Still continue to make music, and these things will always. I think that hopefully everything will change in a good way. And also have to remember that through hard times, also good art has been made. So I think the art world and the music world are really. They're not gonna collapse like the banks.
Thank you.
V intervjuju Radija Študent smo gostili člana norveške zasedbe Hansvil, tokalca Ingarja Zaha. Trio Hansvil bo nocoj ob 9. uri zvečer nastopil v mali dvorani Kina Šiška, zato seveda vabljeni na koncert. O njem in še o čem se je z Ingarjem Zahom za Radio Študent pogovarjal Luka Zagoričnik.
Intervju Radija Študent.